Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording remotely due to the pandemic. Today we have news on the latest local and statewide efforts to reopen businesses and other facilities in our region due to progress being made in flattening the COVID-19 growth curve. Plus, we'll have news on mobile COVID-19 testing labs and some state testing sites now available to the public, including at Grossmont College in El Cajon. Next up, we'll have a special report on how primary and high school districts across East County are ramping up remote learning and the challenges they face in educating students at home during the pandemic. On People Power, hear an inspiring story about Killian Collin, an Iraq War refugee in El Cajon whose volunteer efforts have made thousands of masks distributed to protect healthcare workers, asylum seekers, farm workers, and Native Americans from the coronavirus. We'll also have reactions from local officials, the Sheriff's Department, and a national civil rights leader to photographs posted online of a Vons shopper in Santee wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood. Then on our Arts and Music Spotlight, hear about home concerts being hosted by Live Nation performers around the world with theaters closed due to the pandemic. Plus, hear about the loss of a national champion motocross racer from our region in a dune buggy accident. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. On Friday, May 8th, some non-essential businesses have begun reopening in the state under Stage 2 of Governor Gavin Newsom's plans due to progress made flattening the growth curve of COVID-19 hospitalizations in California. Under the governor's plan, counties must submit readiness plans that meet state criteria, which allow the reopening of many retail businesses, but only for curbside service, with social distancing and other guidelines that must be met and no customers inside. Examples of businesses that can reopen under the new guidelines are bookstores, florists, clothing shops, and sporting goods stores, as well as some manufacturers. But the directive will not yet allow reopening of shopping malls, offices, schools, or dine-in restaurants, which are expected to be reopened in a later phase of Stage 2. San Diego County supervisors want to move faster and have sent a letter to the governor asking him to allow the county's health officer to have total control over when and how local businesses and other facilities can reopen. Supervisor Jacob noted in a town hall held Thursday that the governor has called San Diego a model for the state and listened when the county asked to keep local beaches open after Orange County violated orders against crowds at its beaches. Some local leaders have called for churches to be allowed to hold drive-in services and for small mom-and-pop retailers to be able to have customers in their stores with social distancing, just as large stores such as Home Depot and Target have already been allowed to do, stores that have stayed open due to providing some essential products. But it remains to be seen how much leeway the state public health officer will allow local governments to have. Counties that can move swiftly to provide widespread testing, contact tracing for those exposed, and adequate hospital and ventilator capacity, along with flattening the COVID-19 growth curve, may be allowed to reopen businesses, religious facilities, schools, and public spaces more quickly than those that don't. In a virtual town hall this week, El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells said he's encouraged overall by the state's actions, and he thinks the governor has done a good job of acting quickly to keep people safe from the virus, but that it's now time to balance those concerns over potential losses from people suffering depression and anxiety due to stay-home orders and worries over lost incomes that could lead to things like suicide or domestic abuse. Both Mayor Wells and Supervisor Jacob cautioned constituents against conspiracy theories over a power grab, noting the governor does have the legal authority during a pandemic to take the actions he's done, and that he has made efforts to listen to our local officials. Wells observes, "Governor Newsom is listening, and I think he wants to do the right thing. It's tough when you're trying to balance a public health crisis on top of an economic crisis," he urged. Supervisor Jacob says that while local and state leaders all want to see facilities reopen, we need to make sure that we don't have a relapse. She praised San Diego County residents who have come forward to help neighbors, and she concludes, "Out of every crisis, and we've seen it in fires too, comes some good. People helping people." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Goetz with a health report. San Diego County is now deploying mobile COVID-19 testing sites to at-risk communities. The vehicles include a new LiveWell bus and, soon, bookmobiles and other county vehicles. The county also announced plans to dramatically increase tracing of contacts with each person who tests positive. The action follows a press conference by Reverend Shane Harris, president of the People's Alliance for Justice, and Samantha Gambles Farr, president of the San Diego Black Nurses Association. Citing racial disparities in healthcare delivery, the advocates called for testing in urban epicenters where populations include many people of color, including communities such as El Cajon, City Heights, Southeast San Diego, and Barrio Logan. They also called for stronger tracking by public health officials of those who came in contact with someone who tests positive, and asked officials to create a quarantine plan for those exposed who live in crowded housing situations. A joint statement issued by Harris and Gambles Farr states the COVID-19 pandemic isn't the first time African Americans have been underprioritized in a public health crisis. It is very important that we do not ignore race within our conversations around COVID-19. Many African Americans already have pre-existing conditions that make them even more vulnerable to this virus. Making testing available and free for those already affected by other urban deterrents must be the priority of our public health and government officials. The activists indicate that the number of COVID-19 cases among African Americans statewide is disproportionate to the population overall. In San Diego County, African Americans account for 3% of deaths, but testing has been limited, so the full number of cases and deaths is unknown. Reverend Harris told East County Magazine that he believes testing should be free and available in urban areas to allow access, quote, even for people who have no car. He notes that in urban areas such as El Cajon, which includes many immigrants and refugees, as well as citizens, people of color live compacted, often in cramped apartments with extended family members. That increases the risk of infection, so Harris says the county needs to provide a plan to quarantine these urban folks who live in compacted apartments. People's Alliance for Justice is asking for county support so that the nonprofit group can deliver 3 meals a day to urban residents who test positive, plus essential supplies such as toothpaste. The county currently has a staff of 120 case and contact tracers who have conducted over 4,000 COVID-19 investigations. On Friday, the county announced plans to expand its number of contact tracers to 450 in the coming months. The county also plans to hire an additional 200 public health nurses to support testing efforts, with a goal of testing 5,200 a day.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on the testing location in El Cajon that came in after Jonathan's script was recorded. The testing will be available at Grossmont College, and you can get free tests by appointment by calling 888-634-1123. Again, testing at Grossmont College for COVID-19 by calling 888-634-1123 to make your appointment.
Local primary and secondary schools in San Diego's East County began sailing in uncharted waters in April when school districts began offering distance learning for their students because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Schools across San Diego County shut down in mid-March under order of Governor Gavin Newsom to reduce the spread of the virus. At first, school districts envisioned reopening in early April. But on April 1st, Governor Newsom ordered schools statewide to stay closed for the rest of the academic year. The governor, a father of school-aged children, said at the time, "To all of the moms, all the teachers, all the caregivers, I know how stressful this is, trust me. I know what we're asking of you over the course of the next few months." Since the April 1st announcements, educators statewide have scrambled to figure out what the new normal in school education will be, at least through the end of the school year. Options range from online tutorials to packets of learning materials sent home. East County Magazine journalist Paul Cruz reached out to primary and high school districts across our inland region. to learn what steps they are taking to educate students remotely. The San Diego County Office of Education has met weekly with educators, providing resources, templates, and best practices for distance learning. Lemon Grove School District began distance learning on April 27th. Assistant Superintendent Eddie Caballero says that local educators have previously discussed what to do in case of a disaster, but never expected such a long-term crisis. Equitable learning access is the biggest challenge in Lemon Grove, a diverse community with many low-income households. While some students have internet access and their own computer devices, others don't, and some don't even have a home. Serving students with disabilities remotely is another key challenge for the district. The Lemon Grove School District has begun distributing 2,200 Chromebooks and 1,000 instructional work packets to students. The district is also referring families to local internet providers, offering low-cost services to help low-income families during the pandemic. For those who can't get internet service, instructional packets are provided. Bradley Johnson, superintendent of the Dehesa School District, notes that making sure students actually do the work assigned is another issue. He says, technically, we cannot enforce and hold students accountable during this time. However, we are highly encouraging cooperation from students and families for our distance learning program. The district is setting clear expectations, providing some routine and some flexible scheduling for schoolwork and required check-ins. Since the state has waived testing, students' work will be reviewed, but no grades will be given. The Mountain Empire School District has a Chromebook program, which has allowed every student to have a device. All grade levels have work packets distributed to students every 2 weeks with work to complete at home. Dr. Kathy Granger, superintendent at Mountain Empire, says internet access is not available to all families in the rural district, so a paper version of the work packets is available to those who can't download it online. Teachers are available to consult with students online or by phone. Cajon Valley Union School District did not respond to our request for information. However, NBC San Diego reports that the tech-oriented district is giving students assignments via a playlist. Students check in once or twice a week using Google Chat or Zoom with their teacher, who is now called an advisor. Each advisor is responsible for 35 students. If a student has trouble with an assignment, tutoring sessions are available with their subject teachers. Grossmont Union High School District spokesperson Catherine Martin says the district has provided Chromebooks to its students for the past 6 years. Grossmont launched its distance learning program on April 20th, according to the district's Facebook page. But some parents have posted concerns. One said her middle school and elementary age children have more homework than her high school senior in the Grossmont district. The COVID-19 pandemic has clearly proven challenging for educators facing a myriad of difficulties as they learn new ways of teaching students remotely. Online instruction is particularly challenging for some teachers who have their own children home during the pandemic. Remote instruction can also be daunting for students and their parents, particularly those for whom English is a second language. The prolonged shutdown has been particularly difficult for high school seniors, robbed of graduations, proms, and other rites of passage. But there is one bright spot. The University of California and California State University Systems have waived some admission requirements to help high school seniors impacted by school shutdowns during the COVID-19 crisis. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's People Power Report. Killian Collin is an Iraqi refugee in El Cajon who survived lockdowns during wars in Iraq and Syria. A longtime civil rights and labor activist, he has now started a mask-making campaign that is protecting thousands of the most vulnerable people during the COVID-19 pandemic. He says, helping other people was the only way that I survived through different risks and wars I went through. His masks have been sent to protect healthcare workers in San Diego and in cities across the nation, including hard-hit New York City, as well as to farmers in the Midwest, farm workers in Oregon, asylum seekers in Mexico, and tribal members of the Navajo Nation in Arizona. Colin was visiting in Asia back in January, so he started wearing masks when the pandemic hit Vietnam and Taiwan. After he came home, he kept wearing the masks to his classes at San Diego State University, only to find students and even professors making fun of him. He says, "I had no option but to face some of those bullies and told them I was protecting them by wearing this mask, since I had no idea if I carried the virus with me home." Then in mid-March, SDSU moved classes online. Without spending an hour daily commuting, Colin had time to spare, so he started making several masks to offer online to whoever needed them. He found patterns online and cut up clothes from his own closet that he no longer needed. Sewing by hand, it took him an hour and a half to make each of those masks at first while watching TV at home. He posted them on Facebook free for anybody who needed them. Within hours, a friend gave him a sewing machine and another offered to buy $200 worth of fabric, provided Colin would make 200 masks for asylum seekers waiting in crowded camps in Mexico for their hearings in the U.S. He learned how to use and maintain a sewing machine by watching YouTube videos and was soon able to make a mask in just 30 minutes. He made enough for the asylum seekers and also posted more on Facebook for others in need. Colin recalls, "People from all over the country started to message me and ask for masks for local healthcare workers. So next, he posted a fundraiser on Facebook to buy more fabric, and donations poured in from across the nation. Locally, his backers include the Minority Humanitarian Aid Foundation, Lemon Grove City Councilman David Arambula, the Oasis Legal Aid Foundation, and San Diego City Council candidate Kelvin Barrios. Soon, Colin was making 50 masks a day, working 12 hours daily. It was a power that I never thought I had in the past," he reflects, but he adds, "it comes with some sacrifices and risk-taking when going to stores to buy fabric and other supplies to make masks." Colin says he is at high risk due to an immune-compromised system. So he dons a double face mask, a chemistry lab goggle, and face shields to go shopping. He sprays his car and products with disinfectants, and then after returning home, takes a shower, washes, dries, irons, and cuts all that fabric into patterns. He says he's made hours of mistakes, learning the best techniques, all of which he's done as a volunteer. Soon, he and organizations that backed his efforts started shipping masks across the country to help healthcare workers, farm workers, asylum seekers, and Native Americans. Most recently, after hearing about devastating rates of COVID-19 on the Navajo Nation's reservation in Arizona, he started working with contacts there to deliver 600 masks and help stop spread of the deadly virus on the reservation. More donations poured in. Colin says, "My heart is overwhelmed with the support that I got from people around our country to help with my Navajo Nation aid project." On Facebook, people have praised his efforts. One woman called him a guardian angel. Councilman Arambula thanked Colin, writing, "You've inspired many of us to join your selfless efforts and making a difference in countless others." Despite losses some may face due to COVID-19, Killian Colin wants each of us to remember this pandemic by how many people you helped. He concludes that despite divisiveness among political leaders and protests over lockdowns, which he believes showed us the worst in our country, the pandemic also showed that most of us are united behind a great cause to save and support each other during this pandemic. And he says, if you are helping other fellow human beings during the pandemic, please take a minute and be proud of your kindness and generosity. Donations of fabric and elastic, rubbing alcohol, and sewing machines are welcome as more people step forward to help Killian Colin sew masks to meet the growing needs to protect as many people as possible. Ultimately, he's hoping to find a nonprofit to partner with so donations will be tax-deductible. But for now, people can donate to Killian Colin via PayPal, Venmo, or find him on Facebook. And his name is spelled K-I-L-I-A-N-C-O-L-I-N. That's Killian with one L and Colin, C-O-L-I-N. The former Iraqi refugee, now helping to save lives a world away from his homeland, concludes, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart for every guardian angel that is supporting me in this project." Social media users and civil rights leaders nationwide have expressed outrage over photos taken of a man shopping at a Santee Vaughn store on May 2nd, wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood to cover his face amid county masking requirements during the COVID-19 epidemic. Martin Luther King III tweeted, "To be clear, KKK outfits, neo-Nazi swastikas, and Confederate flags equal racism." The KKK has been designated federally as a hate group for its long history of terrorizing, attacking, and killing racial minorities, especially African Americans. Some states have laws banning the wearing of KKK hoods or masks, laws that at least one court has upheld, although another state court struck down a similar ban. A spokeswoman for Vons has indicated that fostering an environment of courtesy, dignity, and respect is a high priority. The company statement indicated several employees asked the customer to remove the hood, but he refused until he reached the checkout area, when he was told he would have to remove the hood or leave. A woman who photographed the man told Times of San Diego, "I've grown up in Santee and have never seen such racism right before my eyes." She shared photos of the man, both masked and unmasked, on social media, where outraged community members asked help to identify him. Vons calls the incident disturbing for associates and customers, adding, "We are reviewing with our team how to best handle such inappropriate situations in the future." Protests at the store on Mission Gorge Road were being organized, Times of San Diego was told last week. Todd Walters, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union that represents workers at the store, said in an email to Times of San Diego, "I know that this person does not speak for the community. I am disgusted with this behavior." He noted that grocery workers are risking their lives to serve customers during COVID-19, adding, "Management has a responsibility to ensure safety on the work site. We have told members if they do not feel safe, they have the right to remove themselves from that situation." One user on Twitter named the hooded gentleman Clantee Man, referencing an old reputation of Santee as Clantee for its connections to white supremacists at one time. From 2014 to 2018, however, SANDAG figures indicate that the rate of hate crimes per capita in Santee actually is about the same as for the city of San Diego and lower than some other East County cities. The city has tried hard to rebrand its image and overcome negative stereotypes, even investing in a new logo and positive slogan in recent months. But the image that's made national and international news now threatens to undo strides made, striking fear and anger among African-American residents and civil rights advocates. Santee Mayor John Minto has issued a statement praising citizens and Vons and thanking all who stepped forward to curtail what he called this reminder of intolerance. He added, "Santee, its leaders and I will not tolerate such behavior. Santee and its citizens are great, and this particular individual's actions are not representative of us as a people and a wonderful city." One person on Facebook claims to be an acquaintance of the man who wore the mask and says he lives in Poway, not Santee. But that's not yet confirmed. San Diego Sheriff Bill Gore has indicated that although deputies were not called to the scene at the time of the incident, his office has identified the man wearing the KKK hood, but the name has not been made public as of this broadcast. Detectives from the Sheriff's Department are looking into the matter and will pursue any appropriate criminal charges, the Sheriff's statement indicates, adding, "The Sheriff's Department does not condone hate or any acts of intolerance in our communities. We are a county that is welcoming of people from all backgrounds." Anybody with information on this incident or the masked man is asked to call Sergeant Claudia Delgado at 619-956-4050. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
This is Jonathan Goetz with East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight. Live Nation's concert venues remain shut down around the world due to the COVID-19 pandemic, including the Magnolia Performing Arts Center in El Cajon, House of Blues in San Diego, and more. But Live Nation's website proclaims, just because we're keeping our distance doesn't mean the music has to stop. Join us daily for live streams from around the globe. Follow artists live from their homes as they share music, stories, and more. You can find a full schedule and links to listen live to Live Nation's house concerts daily at livenation.com. Now, if you had tickets to any upcoming shows at any Live Nation venues, here's what you need to know. For canceled shows, refunds will automatically be issued, or you can opt to instead receive a credit for 150% of your purchase. And Live Nation will also donate tickets to healthcare workers. For rescheduled shows, your ticket payment will automatically be applied to the new date unless you opt for a refund within 30 days of the new show date being announced. So check the LiveNation.com website for notices of canceled or rescheduled shows.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Alpine resident and motocross Hall of Fame champion Marty Smith died April 27th, along with his wife, Nancy, in a dune buggy rollover accident at the Imperial Sand Dunes in Glamis, California. Smith turned pro at 17, becoming a teen idol for his racing skills, long hair, and good looks. He went on to win 3 AMA National Motocross Championship races, as well as the U.S. Grand Prix of Motocross. He also placed 4th in the 15cc World Championship in 1976. In 1978, he broke his hip at the Houston Supercross and retired from motocross after the 1981 season. But he stayed active, teaming up with colleagues to win the Baja 1000 Desert Race in 1991. In 2000, he was inducted into the AMA Motorcycle Hall of Fame. He was also a motocross coach. TMZ Sports reports that Smith was not wearing a safety harness when the fatal dune buggy crash occurred, and the vehicle rolled down a hill. His wife reportedly wore only a lap belt. Lee Rampage, a close friend of the couple, posted on social media that he and his wife were with the Smiths when the accident occurred and tried to save them. But Marty Smith died at the scene. Nancy Smith was airlifted to a hospital, where she later died. In his final interview, published in Motocross magazine in late April, March Smith reflected back on his illustrious career and life. "There are things that I would have loved to have done in my career that I did not do, but I am absolutely 100% satisfied with how my career went," he said, adding, "My wife and I are still very much in love and have been together for over 40 years. And with my kids and all my grandkids, I would not trade any of that for the world." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine Radio Show. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region. Please support KNSJ by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.
Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording remotely due to the pandemic. Today we have news on the latest local and statewide efforts to reopen businesses and other facilities in our region due to progress being made in flattening the COVID-19 growth curve. Plus, we'll have news on mobile COVID-19 testing labs and some state testing sites now available to the public, including at Grossmont College in El Cajon. Next up, we'll have a special report on how primary and high school districts across East County are ramping up remote learning and the challenges they face in educating students at home during the pandemic. On People Power, hear an inspiring story about Killian Collin, an Iraq War refugee in El Cajon whose volunteer efforts have made thousands of masks distributed to protect healthcare workers, asylum seekers, farm workers, and Native Americans from the coronavirus. We'll also have reactions from local officials, the Sheriff's Department, and a national civil rights leader to photographs posted online of a Vons shopper in Santee wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood. Then on our Arts and Music Spotlight, hear about home concerts being hosted by Live Nation performers around the world with theaters closed due to the pandemic. Plus, hear about the loss of a national champion motocross racer from our region in a dune buggy accident. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. On Friday, May 8th, some non-essential businesses have begun reopening in the state under Stage 2 of Governor Gavin Newsom's plans due to progress made flattening the growth curve of COVID-19 hospitalizations in California. Under the governor's plan, counties must submit readiness plans that meet state criteria, which allow the reopening of many retail businesses, but only for curbside service, with social distancing and other guidelines that must be met and no customers inside. Examples of businesses that can reopen under the new guidelines are bookstores, florists, clothing shops, and sporting goods stores, as well as some manufacturers. But the directive will not yet allow reopening of shopping malls, offices, schools, or dine-in restaurants, which are expected to be reopened in a later phase of Stage 2. San Diego County supervisors want to move faster and have sent a letter to the governor asking him to allow the county's health officer to have total control over when and how local businesses and other facilities can reopen. Supervisor Jacob noted in a town hall held Thursday that the governor has called San Diego a model for the state and listened when the county asked to keep local beaches open after Orange County violated orders against crowds at its beaches. Some local leaders have called for churches to be allowed to hold drive-in services and for small mom-and-pop retailers to be able to have customers in their stores with social distancing, just as large stores such as Home Depot and Target have already been allowed to do, stores that have stayed open due to providing some essential products. But it remains to be seen how much leeway the state public health officer will allow local governments to have. Counties that can move swiftly to provide widespread testing, contact tracing for those exposed, and adequate hospital and ventilator capacity, along with flattening the COVID-19 growth curve, may be allowed to reopen businesses, religious facilities, schools, and public spaces more quickly than those that don't. In a virtual town hall this week, El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells said he's encouraged overall by the state's actions, and he thinks the governor has done a good job of acting quickly to keep people safe from the virus, but that it's now time to balance those concerns over potential losses from people suffering depression and anxiety due to stay-home orders and worries over lost incomes that could lead to things like suicide or domestic abuse. Both Mayor Wells and Supervisor Jacob cautioned constituents against conspiracy theories over a power grab, noting the governor does have the legal authority during a pandemic to take the actions he's done, and that he has made efforts to listen to our local officials. Wells observes, "Governor Newsom is listening, and I think he wants to do the right thing. It's tough when you're trying to balance a public health crisis on top of an economic crisis," he urged. Supervisor Jacob says that while local and state leaders all want to see facilities reopen, we need to make sure that we don't have a relapse. She praised San Diego County residents who have come forward to help neighbors, and she concludes, "Out of every crisis, and we've seen it in fires too, comes some good. People helping people." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Getz with a health report. San Diego County is now deploying mobile COVID-19 testing sites to at-risk communities. The vehicles include a new LiveWell bus and, soon, bookmobiles and other county vehicles. The county also announced plans to dramatically increase tracing of contacts with each person who tests positive. The action follows a press conference by Reverend Shane Harris, president of the People's Alliance for Justice, and Samantha Gambles Farr, president of the San Diego Black Nurses Association. Citing racial disparities in healthcare delivery, the advocates called for testing in urban epicenters where populations include many people of color, including communities such as El Cajon, City Heights, Southeast San Diego, and Barrio Logan. They also called for stronger tracking by public health officials of those who came in contact with someone who tests positive, and asked officials to create a quarantine plan for those exposed who live in crowded housing situations. A joint statement issued by Harris and Gambles Farr states, "The COVID-19 pandemic isn't the first time African Americans have been underprioritized in a public health crisis. It is very important that we do not ignore race within our conversations around COVID-19. Many African Americans already have pre-existing conditions that make them even more vulnerable to this virus. Making testing available and free for those already affected by other urban deterrents must be the priority of our public health and government officials." The activists indicate that the number of COVID-19 cases among African Americans statewide is disproportionate to the population overall. In San Diego County, African Americans account for 3% of deaths, but testing has been limited, so the full number of cases and deaths is unknown. Reverend Harris told East County Magazine that he believes testing should be free and available in urban areas to allow access, quote, even for people who have no car. He notes that in urban areas such as El Cajon, which includes many immigrants and refugees, as well as citizens, people of color live compacted, often in cramped apartments with extended family members. That increases the risk of infection, so Harris says the county needs to provide a plan to quarantine these urban folks who live in compacted apartments. People's Alliance for Justice is asking for county support so that the nonprofit group can deliver 3 meals a day to urban residents who test positive, plus essential supplies such as toothpaste. The county currently has a staff of 120 case and contact tracers who have conducted over 4,000 COVID-19 investigations. On Friday, the county announced plans to expand its number of contact tracers to 450 in the coming months. The county also plans to hire an additional 200 public health nurses to support testing efforts, with a goal of testing 5,200 a day.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on the testing location in El Cajon that came in after Jonathan's script was recorded. The testing will be available at Grossmont College, and you can get free tests by appointment by calling 888-634-1123. Again, testing at Grossmont College for COVID-19 by calling 888-634-1123 to make your appointment.
Local primary and secondary schools in San Diego's East County began sailing in uncharted waters in April, when school districts began offering distance learning for their students because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Schools across San Diego County shut down in mid-March under order of Governor Gavin Newsom to reduce the spread of the virus. At first, school districts envisioned reopening in early April. But on April 1st, Governor Newsom ordered schools statewide to stay closed for the rest of the academic year. The governor, a father of school-aged children, said at the time, "To all of the moms, all the teachers, all the caregivers, I know how stressful this is, trust me. I know what we're asking of you over the course of the next few months." Since the April 1st announcements, educators statewide have scrambled to figure out what the new normal in school education will be, at least through the end of the school year. Options range from online tutorials to packets of learning materials sent home. East County Magazine journalist Paul Cruz reached out to primary and high school districts across our inland region to learn what steps they are taking to educate students remotely. The San Diego County Office of Education has met weekly with educators, providing resources, templates, and best practices for distance learning. Lemon Grove School District began distance learning on April 27th. Assistant Superintendent Eddie Caballero says that local educators have previously discussed what to do in case of a disaster, but never expected such a long-term crisis. Equitable learning access is the biggest challenge in Lemon Grove, a diverse community with many low-income households. While some students have internet access and their own computer devices, others don't, and some don't even have a home. Serving students with disabilities remotely is another key challenge for the district. The Lemon Grove School District has begun distributing 2,200 Chromebooks and 1,000 instructional work packets to students. The district is also referring families to local internet providers, offering low-cost services to help low-income families during the pandemic. For those who can't get internet service, instructional packets are provided. Bradley Johnson, superintendent of the Dehesa School District, notes that making sure students actually do the work assigned is another issue. He says, technically, we cannot enforce and hold students accountable during this time. However, we are highly encouraging cooperation from students and families for our distance learning program. The district is setting clear expectations, providing some routine and some flexible scheduling for schoolwork and required check-ins. Since the state has waived testing, students' work will be reviewed, but no grades will be given. The Mountain Empire School District has a Chromebook program, which has allowed every student to have a device. All grade levels have work packets distributed to students every 2 weeks with work to complete at home. Dr. Kathy Granger, superintendent at Mountain Empire, says internet access is not available to all families in the rural district, so a paper version of the work packets is available to those who can't download it online. Teachers are available to consult with students online or by phone. Cajon Valley Union School District did not respond to our request for information. However, NBC San Diego reports that the tech-oriented district is giving students assignments via a playlist. Students check in once or twice a week using Google Chat or Zoom with their teacher, who is now called an advisor. Each advisor is responsible for 35 students. If a student has trouble with an assignment, tutoring sessions are available with their subject teachers. Grossmont Union High School District spokesperson, Catherine Martin, says the district has provided Chromebooks to its students for the past 6 years. Grossmont launched its distance learning program on April 20th, according to the district's Facebook page. But some parents have posted concerns. One said her middle school and elementary age children have more homework than her high school senior in the Grossmont district. The COVID-19 pandemic has clearly proven challenging for educators facing a myriad of difficulties as they learn new ways of teaching students remotely. Online instruction is particularly challenging for some teachers who have their own children home during the pandemic. Remote instruction can also be daunting for students and their parents, particularly those for whom English is a second language. The prolonged shutdown has been particularly difficult for high school seniors, robbed of graduations, proms, and other rites of passage. But there is one bright spot. The University of California and California State University Systems have waived some admission requirements to help high school seniors impacted by school shutdowns during the COVID-19 crisis. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's People Power Report. Killian Collin is an Iraqi refugee in El Cajon who survived lockdowns during wars in Iraq and Syria. A longtime civil rights and labor activist, he has now started a mask-making campaign that is protecting thousands of the most vulnerable people during the COVID-19 pandemic. He says, helping other people was the only way that I survived through different risks and wars I went through. His masks have been sent to protect healthcare workers in San Diego and in cities across the nation, including hard-hit New York City, as well as to farmers in the Midwest, farm workers in Oregon, asylum seekers in Mexico, and tribal members of the Navajo Nation in Arizona. Colin was visiting in Asia back in January, so he started wearing masks when the pandemic hit Vietnam and Taiwan. After he came home, he kept wearing the mask to his classes at San Diego State University, only to find students and even professors making fun of him. He says, "I had no option but to face some of those bullies and told them I was protecting them by wearing this mask, since I had no idea if I carried the virus with me home." Then in mid-March, SDSU moved classes online. Without spending an hour daily commuting, Colin had time to spare, so he started making several masks to offer online to whoever needed them. He found patterns online and cut up clothes from his own closet that he no longer needed. Sewing by hand, it took him an hour and a half to make each of those masks, at first while watching TV at home. He posted them on Facebook free for anybody who needed them. Within hours, a friend gave him a sewing machine and another offered to buy $200 worth of fabric, provided Colin would make 200 masks for asylum seekers waiting in crowded camps in Mexico for their hearings in the U.S. He learned how to use and maintain a sewing machine by watching YouTube videos and was soon able to make a mask in just 30 minutes. He made enough for the asylum seekers and also posted more on Facebook for others in need. Colin recalls, "People from all over the country started to message me and ask for masks for local healthcare workers. So next, he posted a fundraiser on Facebook to buy more fabric, and donations poured in from across the nation. Locally, his backers include the Minority Humanitarian Aid Foundation, Lemon Grove City Councilman David Arambula, the Oasis Legal Aid Foundation, and San Diego City Council candidate Kelvin Barrios. Soon, Colin was making 50 masks a day, working 12 hours daily. It was a power that I never thought I had in the past," he reflects, but he adds, "it comes with some sacrifices and risk-taking when going to stores to buy fabric and other supplies to make masks." Colin says he is at high risk due to an immune-compromised system. So he dons a double face mask, a chemistry lab goggle, and face shields to go shopping. He sprays his car and products with disinfectants, and then after returning home, takes a shower, washes, dries, irons, and cuts all that fabric into patterns. He says he's made hours of mistakes, learning the best techniques, all of which he's done as a volunteer. Soon, he and organizations that backed his efforts started shipping masks across the country to help healthcare workers, farm workers, asylum seekers, and Native Americans. Most recently, after hearing about devastating rates of COVID-19 on the Navajo Nation's reservation in Arizona, he started working with contacts there to deliver 600 masks and help stop spread of the deadly virus on the reservation. More donations poured in. Colin says, "My heart is overwhelmed with the support that I got from people around our country to help with my Navajo Nation aid project." On Facebook, people have praised his efforts. One woman called him a guardian angel. Councilman Arambula thanked Colin, writing, "You've inspired many of us to join your selfless efforts and making a difference in countless others." Despite losses some may face due to COVID-19, Killian Colin wants each of us to remember this pandemic by how many people you helped. He concludes that despite divisiveness among political leaders and protests over lockdowns, which he believes showed us the worst in our country, the pandemic also showed that most of us are united behind a great cause to save and support each other during this pandemic. And he says, if you are helping other fellow human beings during the pandemic, please take a minute and be proud of your kindness and generosity. Donations of fabric and elastic, rubbing alcohol, and sewing machines are welcome as more people step forward to help Killian Colin sew masks to meet the growing needs to protect as many people as possible. Ultimately, he's hoping to find a nonprofit to partner with so donations will be tax deductible. But for now, people can donate to Killian Colin via PayPal, Venmo, or find him on Facebook. And his name is spelled K-I-L-I-A-N-C-O-L-I-N. That's Killian with one L and Colin, C-O-L-I-N. The former Iraqi refugee, now helping to save lives a world away from his homeland, concludes, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart for every guardian angel that is supporting me in this project." Social media users and civil rights leaders nationwide have expressed outrage over photos taken of a man shopping at a Santee Vaughn store on May 2nd, wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood to cover his face amid county masking requirements during the COVID-19 epidemic. Martin Luther King III tweeted, "To be clear, KKK outfits, neo-Nazi swastikas, and Confederate flags equal racism." The KKK has been designated federally as a hate group for its long history of terrorizing, attacking, and killing racial minorities, especially African Americans. Some states have laws banning the wearing of KKK hoods or masks, laws that at least one court has upheld, although another state court struck down a similar ban. A spokeswoman for Vons has indicated that fostering an environment of courtesy, dignity, and respect is a high priority. The company's statement indicated several employees asked the customer to remove the hood, but he refused until he reached the checkout area, when he was told he would have to remove the hood or leave. A woman who photographed the man told Times of San Diego, "I've grown up in Santee and have never seen such racism right before my eyes." She shared photos of the man, both masked and unmasked, on social media, where outraged community members asked help to identify him. Vons calls the incident disturbing for associates and customers, adding, "We are reviewing with our team how to best handle such inappropriate situations in the future." Protests at the store on Mission Gorge Road were being organized, Times of San Diego was told last week. Todd Walters, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union that represents workers at the store, said in an email to Times of San Diego, "I know that this person does not speak for the community. I am disgusted with this behavior." He noted that grocery workers are risking their lives to serve customers during COVID-19, adding, "Management has a responsibility to ensure safety on the work site. We have told members if they do not feel safe, they have the right to remove themselves from that situation." One user on Twitter named the hooded gentleman Clanty Man, referencing an old reputation of Santee as Clanty for its connections to white supremacists at one time. From 2014 to 2018, however, SANDAG figures indicate that the rate of hate crimes per capita in Santee actually is about the same as for the city of San Diego and lower than some other East County cities. The city has tried hard to rebrand its image and overcome negative stereotypes, even investing in a new logo and positive slogan in recent months. But the image that's made national and international news now threatens to undo strides made, striking fear and anger among African-American residents and civil rights advocates. Santee Mayor John Minto has issued a statement praising citizens and Vons and thanking all who stepped forward to curtail what he called this reminder of intolerance. He added, "Santee, its leaders and I will not tolerate such behavior. Santee and its citizens are great, and this particular individual's actions are not representative of us as a people and a wonderful city." One person on Facebook claims to be an acquaintance of the man who wore the mask and says he lives in Poway, not Santee. But that's not yet confirmed. San Diego Sheriff Bill Gore has indicated that although deputies were not called to the scene at the time of the incident, his office has identified the man wearing the KKK hood, but the name has not been made public as of this broadcast. Detectives from the Sheriff's Department are looking into the matter and will pursue any appropriate criminal charges, the sheriff's statement indicates, adding, "The Sheriff's Department does not condone hate or any acts of intolerance in our communities. We are a county that is welcoming of people from all backgrounds." Anybody with information on this incident or the masked man is asked to call Sergeant Claudia Delgado at 619-956-4050. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
This is Jonathan Goetz with East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight. Live Nation's concert venues remain shut down around the world due to the COVID-19 pandemic, including the Magnolia Performing Arts Center in El Cajon, House of Blues in San Diego, and more. But Live Nation's website proclaims, just because we're keeping our distance doesn't mean the music has to stop. Join us daily for live streams from around the globe. Follow artists live from their homes as they share music, stories, and more. You can find a full schedule and links to listen live to Live Nation's house concerts daily at livenation.com. Now, if you had tickets to any upcoming shows at any Live Nation venues, here's what you need to know. For canceled shows, refunds will automatically be issued, or you can opt to instead receive a credit for 150% of your purchase. And Live Nation will also donate tickets to healthcare workers. For rescheduled shows, your ticket payment will automatically be applied to the new date unless you opt for a refund within 30 days of the new show date being announced. So check the LiveNation.com website for notices of canceled or rescheduled shows.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Alpine resident and motocross Hall of Fame champion Marty Smith died April 27th along with his wife, Nancy, in a dune buggy rollover accident at the Imperial Sand Dunes in Glamis, California. Smith turned pro at 17, becoming a teen idol for his racing skills, long hair, and good looks. He went on to win 3 AMA National Motocross Championship races, as well as the U.S. Grand Prix of Motocross. He also placed 4th in the 15cc World Championship in 1976. In 1978, he broke his hip at the Houston Supercross and retired from motocross after the 1981 season. But he stayed active, teaming up with colleagues to win the Baja 1000 Desert Race in 1991. In 2000, he was inducted into the AMA Motorcycle Hall of Fame. He was also a motocross coach. TMZ Sports reports that Smith was not wearing a safety harness when the fatal dune buggy crash occurred, and the vehicle rolled down a hill. His wife reportedly wore only a lap belt. Lee Rampage, a close friend of the couple, posted on social media that he and his wife were with the Smiths when the accident occurred and tried to save them. But Marty Smith died at the scene. Nancy Smith was airlifted to a hospital, where she later died. In his final interview, published in Motocross magazine in late April, Marge Smith reflected back on his illustrious career and life. "There are things that I would have loved to have done in my career that I did not do, but I am absolutely 100% satisfied with how my career went," he said, adding, "My wife and I are still very much in love and have been together for over 40 years. And with my kids and all my grandkids, I would not trade any of that for the world." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region. Please support KNSJ by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.